Right, hello. It's me again. It's that time of the week. Welcome to episode 5 of the Repti Chat podcast. Just want to start the podcast again by saying, sending all our love, thoughts, prayers, all that jazz over to Brian Barczyk, the Barczyk family, and obviously all of the Reptarium crew as well. If you do want to support the Legacy Aquarium Build, it is the top link in the description below. Even if it's a quid, go and give them some love. Because let's face it, we all love Brian. And without him, we probably wouldn't be here. So, right. Moving on. Thank you for the support on the last few episodes. It's been really, really good. So much so that I have a new, honestly, I'm going to say new partner. They're not a sponsor. They're not giving me any money. But they are partnered with the podcast now, I suppose. If you follow me on Instagram, you might already know. So I'm now partnered with Exotics Keeper Magazine. And they have very kindly given me a prize to give away once a episode, and that prize is 12-month digital access to their Exotic Keepers members area, members club. Basically, what that entitles you to, sorry, I can't get my words out today, entitles you to is all digital access to every single one of their magazines from issue 1, including all current issues for the next 12 months. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. We have already selected a winner for this week's episode, and I will announce that at some point during the podcast, but you'll have to listen to find out if it was you. Not much really going on here reptile-wise. Still waiting for eggs. Nothing else is going on. Usual stuff, really. But that's by the by. So, today we are joined by Rocky Ridge Reptiles, father and son team, Ben and Noah. Should I tell you any more? No, I'm not going to tell you anymore. Well, let's get them in and we'll let them tell you. So without further ado, Let's say hello to Ben and Noah.
Hello, mate. How you doing? All right?
Yes, mate. Not too bad. How are you?
Long time no see.
Yeah, I know. It's been like a whole week. I must say, I am loving the branded T-shirts. And have you got your logo on the back of your door now as well?
No, it's just it's a backdrop. It's a backdrop.
I really like it. It looks really smart.
We're going for the whole merch business to go on, and basically, we're just going to start selling it as well.
Yeah, nice. It looks mint. Right. So I'm sure you guys have listened before. In fact, I know that you have at least one episode. And we start every episode with the getting to know you section. Yep. Quick fire round. You can both answer the questions, please.
Okay.
Basically, it's a few yes or no's or like quick, snappy answers. First thing that pops into your head. And I've changed them a little bit compared to normal, just for fun. So, let's get started. So, first exotic pet.
Guinea pig for me, years ago.
Not sure that's that exotic.
I don't have any exotic pets, though, do
they? Leopard gecko. Crested gecko, that was your first one, wasn't
They're
it?
They're not really exotic, though.
So, yeah, crested gecko was
crested
his first.
Gecko. Cool.
They are.
I would say they're exotic.
They are, yes.
They're not a cat or a dog, Noah.
He's 10. He's just difficult.
Current number of animals kept at home?
76.
Yeah, about 70. About 70, I think.
Is that including the dogs?
That's including the dogs, yeah. About 70.
Nice. Yeah. Favourite species currently kept?
Sambo for me. So you've got too many, so you don't know.
Yeah.
Sport of choice.
Achimonitors.
Nice. Okay. Most unusual species that you keep?
Pac-Man frog.
Frill dragon.
Oh, nice. And money, space, time, legalities, no issue at all. What would you have?
Cayman.
Okay, nice.
Dwarf cayman. Base monitor?
I'll go
Cayman lizard. Oh, I like the cayman lizard. Have you been to Reptasia?
Yes, we have.
They've got a big cayman lizard. I think it's called Louie, and it comes and like crawls out. And yeah,
they are cool. Pretty cool. We saw one at the Crocodile World, didn't we?
Oh yeah.
They've got a couple up there. They are.
Yeah, they've got them as well. Cool. Right, moving away from reptiles for a second, and on to the just about you guys. So again, quick fire. It's basically yes or no, but they're not yes or no. It's this or that.
Okay.
Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Beach.
Sun or snow?
Sun.
Snow.
Burger or nuggets?
Burger.
Burger.
Coke or Pepsi?
Neither.
Yeah, good. Nice. Early bird, 9 out. Permanently exhausted pigeon.
Early bird. We get up early, don't we?
Yeah.
Nice.
So that wraps that up. Hopefully the guys and girls listening will know you a little bit better. Obviously, I know you quite well anyway. For those who don't know, I've been friends with Ben and Noah for a while. Ben bought a snake off of me 2 years ago now, I think.
Yeah, two years ago now. Two seasons ago.
That's when our friendship blossomed, and now, unfortunately, he's my boss. So it's not as friendly, but, you know, we get on.
About the unfortunately bit, but that's fine.
He has all of the control over whether you can find a new job or not.
We had the cinnamon girl off of you.
Yeah,
Actually, since then, we've had the pastel boy. And actually, to be fair, I think he's probably one of the prettiest in our collection of ball pythons is the single gene pastel.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, he is a really nice one, actually. I think he's got better with age as well.
Definitely.
But let's not talk about roars for now. We will come back to that. We're going to do full circle. So tell me how, when, why, what got you into royals, reptiles.
Reptiles.
So when did you start? When was your first experience with a reptile? And you went, oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get myself one.
So now,
I went to my friend's party. He's always been into reptiles, but he never had them. So I held a crested gecko. I think it was a crested gecko. And a few weeks before my birthday. So, yeah, I got one for my birthday. Yeah, and then it just basically went from there.
So, he came home. He wanted to get a reptile of some description.
Yeah.
And it was... It was the crested that we saw. So we got that. We set up a tank, and the deal was that he has to do his research. He has to understand how the animals are, what their husbandry is, and he does that. And he also every morning he's looking after them. So the more that we've got, the more time consuming it is for him. But yeah, it was a crested gecko from a party that he saw, and we went from there, and it
snowballs pretty quickly.
Snowballed really quickly.
Yeah. So.
We got was a leopard. Then we got
leopard gecko, Pac-Man frogs. Yeah.
Then we went into snakes. Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Then we got chameleon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, massive snowball. So yeah. Ben, how did you feel, and how did your wife feel about letting that first reptile in the house?
Well, I'm all right with it because I always wanted them. So I've always been that reptile geek anyway. So I just use him as a great excuse to.
Spend money,
and to grow the collection. It wasn't really anything I thought about doing, but
I didn't think it was going to get this far.
When Noah started to see interest in it, it was a good way of channeling some energy for him, and it was something that he really enjoyed, and he got a lot of time and pleasure out of. So it just went from there. So the deal is, at the moment we're in the house at the moment, so we're currently in the living room. So. And then, but Noah's bedroom's got all of the lizards and the frogs and stuff like that. And then we're going to build a room outside. But at the moment, we're not allowed. There's various species that we're not allowed, and that's spiders and scorpions.
And who whose rules are they?
And that's Noah's mum and sister. Right. So
Mona can tell us. What's
yeah. Right so that's so we. I obviously we've got a lot of animals in here, and we never expected to even have any sort of snake. So
I didn't expect it to go to this far.
No. So it's just to have a snake in the house, let alone 60 of them nearly. We've kind of pushed our luck quite a bit anyway. So
yeah.
If we went, I want to get into the spider side, and definitely he wants scorpions. So
yeah, I really want a scorpion.
So once we're outside, then we'll see where we go from there. So
yeah, definitely. So this is a difficult podcast for me because obviously I know quite a lot about your collection, but I'm trying to do it from a point of view of people that don't know you guys very well, don't know you at all. So obviously you say you've got quite a lot of animals, 70 odd.
Yes. So
what have we got?
We've got leopard geckos, crested geckos,
frills.
Frilled dragon, which is, to be fair, he's proper cool. We'll get him out in a bit for you. Any minute. And then we've got Pac-Man frogs. Gargoyle geckos. We've got a Eurodactyloid gecko, little baby, a little girl, tiny little thing. Comes in the same. It's New Caledonian gecko, but it's a small version of a lychee.
Okay.
We've got a boy and a girl, Leechy. They're just about to come up to be paired.
Two king snakes.
We've got two Aki monitors. We've got two European or oscillated lizards or jeweled lizards.
Yeah.
We rescued a couple of bearded dragons.
Fat dragon.
We call
them the fat
dragons. Tortoises. And we had a chameleon, but he passed away a few weeks ago, which was a really sad. He's our whole brand. So
yeah.
So we got
that was Colin, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah. So and what we tried to do was just with the geckos, we tried to, because we had obviously got the Cresty, it was easy to move over to the gargoyle and then the leeches.
Yeah.
And the Eurodactyloid. And then with the snakes, we've got the ball pythons, we've got the sand boas, and we've got Californian kings.
Cool. So yeah, massive variety.
Yes.
So I'm going to try and keep away from the roars for now, and we're going to move on to the roars later on. So going from your first crested gecko to everything you've got now by the royals, would you say it's been relatively straightforward going from one species to another? So say from like, we go, I don't know, one extreme to the other. So we go crested geckos to the Aki's monitors.
Yes.
How have you found your knowledge and husbandry has had to adapt?
Well,
they're
similar to the beard. So we've got beardies.
They were easier because we had the leopard gecko at that time.
Dry and arid with like leopard geckos, beardies, and Akis.
Yeah.
They're all very similar.
Moving from the Cresties to the leopards are quite hard because we only had it for 3 months.
Yeah.
We've got another one.
Yeah.
I was kind of wanting to,
it was a steep learning curve.
A lot more than I should have done.
Yes. So, it was a steep learning curve for Noah and for me, because obviously I had to understand everything, and then also had to make sure that Noah understood it.
Yeah. Specifically did you find, not that you struggle with, but going from Cresties to the leopard geckos, that you went, oh, this is a bit more challenging, or if you know what I mean?
I think to start with, when you first come into the hobby, it's the making sure that you panic about the temperatures, the humidity, whether the substrate's correct, whether they're eating enough, and it's all in your heads. It's always, you're always thinking about it. And once you try and, the best thing that we did is we relaxed into it, and we knew that we were keeping them well because they hadn't dropped down dead. I think it's probably that reptiles are fairly notorious for doing that if you get the husbandry wrong. So we knew that we were on the right path, but it's just making sure that in its consistency as well. So for Noah, he has to get up in the morning. All of the stuff that needs spraying is all sprayed down. Everything's fed or watered, and everything. So it is consistency and just try to relax. Anybody that's getting into it, there's so much stuff on the internet that is just, it's either find somebody like I found you with the snakes. Watch people that so it gives you an idea, so then just trying to relax into the animal basically, because they'll tell you, because you'll soon know, because they stop feeding and they look pretty ropey really quickly.
Exactly, their appearance can change drastically, and like you say, as long as they're eating and pooing,
yes,
even if you haven't got everything spot on,
exactly,
at least they're at a point where they're not going to drop dead, and you can work on improving and making things better. And I think as sort of technology moves on and we learn more anyway, it's always going to be adapting, isn't it?
Yeah. The biggest thing that I found is when we got the chameleon, because everybody said how hard chameleons are to keep, to maintain and to keep them. So I was constantly with a thermometer in there and, the hydrometer, and making sure that he was doing it. And then all of a sudden, we moved him out of one small viv into his main adult one, and he blossomed after that, didn't he?
Yeah,
we got everything right, and it is just
happier.
Yeah, you just have fun with them.
Yeah, I actually found that behind me we've got a chameleon. It's my wife's, and before that I'd kept leopard geckos, cresties, all the sorts of snakes, but I'd never had a chameleon, because every time you speak to someone they're like, oh, you have to be really careful, they're drop dead, they're really hard to look after. And we were exactly the same as you. So we spent a fortune on everything that the internet said we needed to have. I was like temp checking it 3 times a day, making sure it was sprayed down like to the millisecond.
Yeah.
And once you've relaxed a bit, it's like, oh, well, actually, it's really like he changes colour if he's unhappy. It's really easy to see if there's a problem.
All paint on pretty quick, don't they?
Yeah. No, so I think, yeah, that's a good point to be fair. If you are thinking about getting a chameleon, they are, there's a lot to look after. There's a lot to know, but they're not difficult to look after.
No, that
People say they are, but they're not particularly that hard to look after. Once
And they're just joyous to have as well, because they're
so cool.
We were lucky with ours. We had about, he went through his like his teenager bit and he was grumpy. But he always wanted to come out and he was always walking around. And then he had about 6 months of, you couldn't go anywhere near him. He just hit at you. And then he calmed back down again and he came back out. And we were lucky. I know that people have, you know, you speak to people and they have grumpy ones.
Yeah, mine's horrible.
But But it's the handling as well. You've got to be consistent with handling.
So we don't really handle ours at all. But he's always out, and so quite often people go, "Oh, why have you got them? You can't really get them out." And I see the chameleon, not some of the other animals, but especially the chameleon, because he doesn't like being handled, like a tropical fish tank. Like, you don't go and pick up tropical fish, but you can sit and stare at them for hours.
Yes.
And it's the same with him. Like, I love feeding him. I love watching him climb around, watching him shed. He's in shed at the moment. And he's like all over the place, picking bits off. It's just really cool to watch.
I think
there's some species that are more of a like a spectator sport as opposed to a participation.
We've got Cresties that Laser, the first Crestie we had, we panicked about holding him because we didn't want him to drop his tail. So we, in the end, we made a decision that we don't handle him. So we've never handled him. He's not interested, and we just didn't want to give him any more stress than he needed. But we rescued another one from somebody, he didn't like it, did he? So we had that.
My friend bought one, because he liked my little animal, so he bought one, but it jumped on his face
and scared him.
But
he handles, you see, so we can get him out. He's fine. And like the leeches that we've got, Dory, the female, I can hold her all day long and she's fine. Whereas the boy, he doesn't want to, he's not interested in being held, so we don't hold them. If they don't want to,
then there's no point forcing them to do it, is there?
No, they're not. They're not the sort of thing that you can. Whereas the bearded dragons, you can put them on your shoulder and you can sit there and they'll be there all night. Yeah. But you have to learn which you can hold and which you can't.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realise that reptiles have quite sort of complex personalities, and you can have like you well know, and I do as well. Like, we've got, I don't know, between us, what, 80, 90 royals, and you guarantee that every single one of them has a different attitude, even though they all are pet rocks. The Cresties as well, we were quite lucky. So we've got three, but my wife loves animals that have got something wrong with them. So we've got two that have got tails and one that hasn't got a tail. She's got one that hasn't got a tail. So the kids, like, I'm like, if you want to get Cresties out, get her out first, because she can't drop her tail, so there's nothing to worry about there. And just like, and she's pretty chill anyway. And then, like, now they can get all of them out; it doesn't bother me at all. But it was nice to know that, like, I'm not. Like, it's not good when a Cresties drops her tail, but I'm not that worried about them dropping a tail, because I know, like, they just drop them randomly because they scare themselves.
But in the wild, they didn't. They never knew. They didn't realize that they had tails, because the ones that they found in the wild for a Cresties were all tailless. So they assumed that they were a tailless species.
Yeah, they're just dopey and they scared themselves.
Yeah, so our one dropped his tail. It got out for it just escaped the tank and disappeared off. We managed to get it back in, and then the next day it dropped its tail. So they, you know, it wasn't whilst it was out. They're skittish. But we've got two. We just picked a female up for our Laser, for our male, and she doesn't like to be held. She's not going to be held, so she's gone straight in with Laser, and you know, and that's where she'll stay. So,
exactly. We've got some comments. KNC Royal saying hello, and Paul's Monitor, hello to you as well, mate. Paul says, not all reptiles have to be handled. It's for us most of the time, not them.
Totally.
That's definitely true. Yeah, they much prefer to sit and not be held, but I know we're a bit selfish sometimes, aren't we? So.
It's like the snakes, you get them out just to make sure they're all right, and generally they go back in. The king snakes that we've got, They're not a big handleable species. They, when they're small, they panic and they just, because at the end of the day, they think we're going to eat them because we're big.
Yeah.
So why put them through the stress? So we don't generally, you know, with the husbandry, you have to, because you have to get them out to check them.
Yep.
But then, like the bearded dragons, they're quite happily sit on your, you know, they're not fussed.
Oh yeah, bearded dragons are they're almost like dogs sometimes. I've got a friend that's got one, and it's in their living room, and he built this massive viv. This viv is probably, I think it's about 8 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot. It's huge for one beardy, and they always have the glass open on it, and the beardy just sort of comes in, comes out, wanders around, sits by the patio doors in the sunshine, climbs up on the sofa and has a cuddle, takes itself home when it wants to.
Yeah.
I haven't got many that would do that. Pardon?
Noah's gone to get the beardy. So this one we rescued him. He's got a short tail, but he'll sit on the bed with Noah, and he's quite cool. So he come with a dodgy. So he'll sit there quite happily.
That's cool. Sorry if you can hear my dog having a dream in the background. She's yelping away.
But we've got Aki monitors now, which we got from Paul.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah. If you don't know Paul, we had an episode with him a couple of episodes ago, so go back and listen.
And so we've got the Akis, and they're really cool. They're just starting to get to a point where
they're quite big now.
Yeah. You need to make sure that you can get everything out without stressing it too much.
You can handle it really.
Yeah, but like this guy, he'll just fall asleep. So when he's had enough, he'll just close his eyes and he's quite happy.
Yeah, the Akis are pretty clever as well. Not that bearded dragons aren't clever, but if you look at a beardy compared to an Aki,
you can see
the intelligence in the Aki.
Yeah, definitely. There's a beardy gun, put him back in. But he's a good one he's a great, so for Noah especially. Bearded dragons are a great animal to have, but they're boring. So, and because they're not, they come out and they basically sit there. So I can see why it's a great thing to start with when they're little, and they're all flitting around all over the place. And they get older, and they basically just tend to just sit there and become a rock, don't they? So, so for kids, it's you can see why there's a lot of them out there that are in rescue centres and people don't want them.
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly as you put it. Like when they're young, for the first, I don't know, 18 months, if you're lucky, they are running around and they're really cool. And then after that, they're not that fast.
Yeah, but it's like, to be fair, it's like the crested geckos. They're supposed to be the number one kids gecko. But once again, you don't see them until the night.
They're hidden. Boring animal that we've got, to be fair.
But they're beautiful, but when they're advertised as something that, because none of them are suitable for children. It's not like a dog or a cat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That I was going to say, although they're advertised for it, I wouldn't give a reptile to probably an under 10 without like me wanting it as well.
Yes,
and that Paul's just put a comment saying this is why I don't like beginner species of sop shot. Why I don't like beginner species shops sell, they're hardy and they won't die, but people get bored. It's a hard line. I completely agree.
I do. There is no beginner species, because if you've never looked after an hen, they're all beginner. So
I think the most beginner thing that we got is a leprechaun.
Yeah, but it's like everything. You've got to make sure. It's like the chameleon. So everybody says that that's like an intermediary thing. We go back to the point. But as long as you get you could start off with that. You could never have owned any of them. Whereas a chameleon's a really good animal to keep, because they're active. They're a good thing for kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're cool to feed. So there's a lot of experience. Even if they don't come out for handling, the feeding is really. I love feeding my chameleon. Every time we feed it, I try putting locusts like near my face and like get him to shoot, like hold him in front of the camera, try and get the slow motion videos, like anything. It's so cool. I've seen how far they can flick their tongue as well. I hadn't thought of it like that. But yeah, when you, if you're going to get a reptile and you've got your heart set on something like a chameleon, don't go and get a beginner species first.
Because
there's no such thing. You might as well go and learn properly and go in.
With the Pac-Man frogs, they're another cool species. They're always out, but they never really, they don't do anything, just sit in a hole And as they get bigger, they just get, they've got quite a personality, and they're good for feeding. So if you, if kids want something like, it's a bit, they're not as, as hard work as a, like dart frogs, but, you know, it is, the Pac-Man frogs, they're a great one because they're an easy husbandry side for the kids to look after. You can handle them if you want to. You have to be careful and make sure your hands are wet as well, but they don't particularly like being handled. But the feeding part's really cool because they get big. So they then, you know, we feed ours little fuzzy rats or mice or pinkies or fish. And that's a really cool species to do all that. But they but don't take up huge amounts of room. They don't need lots of UV.
And when they're massive and you have like some leftover rats from your snakes.
Yeah,
they're basically a dustbin, aren't they?
Yes, and then and like the what's the other one? It's the bullfrog. They've got teeth.
Oh, they're massive.
So lots of kids have them, whereas the Pac-Man frogs, they're user friendly again. If you do get bitten by it, it's just the mouths are just sticky. Yeah, they're not going to do any damage.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So yeah, back to the original question. You got masses of, well, not masses. I don't know what the word is. I'm really struggling with words today. A vast variety of stuff that isn't royals as well. So, yes. Noah, what do you think out of all the stuff that you've got that isn't royals? What's the favourite you've got, and what do you enjoy spending the most time with? Not necessarily handling, but like looking after it, caring it, setting up its enclosure, all that sort of stuff.
I'm going to say the Aki monitors. I absolutely love them.
Poor old Frank the bearded, the frilled. I'm joking.
Yeah.
What is it about the Akis that you really like that much?
I just like watching them eat. Like, they like run around the cage chasing everything.
Like a dinosaur, isn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes they're like wonder what's that, and they're chasing their tail sometimes, and it's just.
They're really clever.
Yeah.
They are really clever. Have you thought about doing anything like bull training or feed them with the tongs and stuff yet?
Yeah, I want to do that when they get bigger, you know, because they're only baby. I mean, Paul's monitors, though.
Yeah,
so.
Not that old, are they? They're 8 or 9 months, I should think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've had them 6 months, really.
Yeah, I should think so. But yeah, so we're going to do all that. So that he does the training with the frill dragon that we've got. He comes out, Frank comes out, he runs around. He took a long time, but the Akis is just consistency with them, and which he does. He's always in there.
They look like a mini dinosaur.
Yeah, they are cool, aren't they?
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'd like Akis. I had this conversation with Paul when he was on. I think I'd really like some sort of dwarf monitor at some point. It's just finding the room, so I just need the youngest daughter to move out, and I can turn our bedroom into a reptile room.
Well, we've got a big cage that we're looking at. I need to speak to Paul, so I'll be in touch, Paul, because we've got a big viv that's come empty. So
yeah,
we need
to
find something.
Yeah, that one that he has.
Yeah. So, I do like the monitors. They are they're a good species to have.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. Cool. So, obviously, you've got quite a large collection of non-royal stuff. What about breeding plans for anything that isn't royals? Are you planning on breeding? Have you bred anything in the past?
Yeah, we've got. Last year, we only had leopard geckos.
Was that your first time breeding the leopard geckos?
Yeah. Yes. So, other than leopard geckos, we had just had royals. So this year, we got leopard geckos, crestees, royals, leeches, maybe.
Yeah. Akis one day, hopefully.
Akis one, yeah.
But yeah, so
I'm hoping that the female jewel lizard's got some eggs in her.
Yes, so we've got male and female jeweled. The problem with them is that there's lots of them, and they're not they're not a very popular species, I don't think. Although there are
because
lots of
really
them out
aggressive,
there.
They're really aggressive. That's probably why.
But the male's beautiful. The female's a lot smaller, so they're an unusual.
Are these the ones? They've almost got like the blue lines on the side of them.
That's it. Yeah, so they call them jewel-eyed, and they're really cool. They're quite an aggressive species. They don't handle at all. He'll come out, but he just, you know, they don't like being so. Don't worry about them. And we've got cresties that we are going to breed this year. The leopard geckos, we ended up with 4 eggs last year, which was great. So that got us into breeding. They were really cool, weren't they? And the lychee geckos, we're going to try and breed them this year. If I compare, if we compare the boy and the girl together, and we, without one of them killing each other,
we tried that. Yeah. The male has headed the water.
Yeah, so it's quite, it's a bit scary, because one, they're beautiful, and two, they are a lot of money at the end of the day. It's a lot, and I don't want one to hurt the other just for the sake. So I'm hoping that they've been around, they can, you know, each other long enough now that we can start.
He's big enough.
Yeah, and he's big enough. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that we can start pairing those. But it's not the end of the world. That's the thing. We've always said if we try something and it doesn't work, then it doesn't matter. We're not in it for that. We're in it for having fun.
Yeah, so you're not breeding to make money. You're breeding to say, oh, my God, that's amazing. Look what we managed to breed this year.
Yeah, you couldn't have what we have and do it for money, because it doesn't work like that, because we've got so many of lots of different things.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the royals will pay for a lot of it eventually as it goes through. But you know, it's our hobby. He loves it. It's giving him a focus, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really cool. And do you find that because you've got something like a hobby you can share now, you have sort of bonded? I don't know what the relationship was like beforehand, but do you find you've got a stronger relationship together
because you
can talk about this all the time?
Yeah, we can drive a lot longer than we usually could, because driving up to Doncaster from Manchester,
we've always got something to talk about, and I always get text messages in the mornings from Morph Market with other animals on it. It's normally like a lace monitor or something like a
crocodile. Yeah. Something. So, it's like, oh, please, Dad, it's only a couple of grand.
Yeah, albino alligator that's from Germany for 40 grand. So
yeah, well, why not? Get two.
Exactly. So, and that's the nice bit. Yeah, it's definitely, we found something that we both love doing.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
It is, but I'm proud of him, because he looks after them all. I don't do any of
it. A lot of them has lasted this long. I
make sure, you can't be. I make sure that everything's looked after, but he does all of the day-to-day stuff.
So. Yeah, so it's nice for you to be able to walk into Noah's bedroom where the rest of the animals are kept and go, oh, that one's been cleaned out. They've all got water that's clean. They've all been fed. I don't need to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. So he does all of that. I do all the snakes, and he does all the lizards and looks
after. Yeah, that works well.
I'm just the cash cow, basically. I just get told what to buy, when to buy.
Well, it works. To be honest, mate, Noah has he's struck gold there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Another way to do it, if there's any kids listening, just constantly tell your parents to get something, then they get annoyed.
Cool. So let's move on to royals.
Yep.
Obviously, royals make up quite a large portion of your collection.
Yes. How
many have you got at the moment? Off the top of your head?
60 at the moment.
Well, the 60 royals.
Yeah.
No, 27 there.
So we got 20 odd over there. Yeah, we've got 60 at the moment with all of the that are growing on. And
How's that made up of, say, like ready to breed females, so males, got, and then so going on?
This year we're breeding eight females, hopefully. We've paired eight females, but next year we'll have about 25 females ready. Don't need to. So, that snowball, we started off with one ball python. I'm not a really big lover of snakes. I wasn't. I do now. I never thought that we'd have a snake.
No,
and then we got a banana ball python, and then I managed to pick up, I got a wild rack, and then I picked up that rack, the JVK.
Yeah, for the audio, people that are listening, not watching, that's Ben's pointing at a big 30-tub JVK rack behind him.
Yeah, so once I had that, I needed to fill it. So, and we filled it quickly.
Yeah,
so,
you did fill it pretty quickly.
But we've got a lot of smaller animals as we were buying them, we bought a few bigger females to start with the breeding, and then all of the other stuff is all going to be ready. Lots will be ready next year and the following year as well. So,
yeah. So, What have you got? What's your
Noah's into ivory.
Yeah, what are you into morph wise? What we got?
So Noah likes an ivory. I'm obsessed with calico. So I everything calico or sugar. I'm all over that. I think that's just, that's so underrated. I think people are coming round to it. Shut the thing.
What, touching that?
People are coming round to it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a massive Calico fan as well.
Yes.
And I think this year, especially, it seems to have been, the popularity of it seems to be growing. But I would say the last few years, you don't really see much of it around. And there's not that many combos that have been done either.
Yeah, we've got, I mean, he's in shed, but we've got a Sugar Enchi boy.
Yeah.
And he's just beautiful. And the patination on it is just amazing. And I've bred him this year with a straight calico, and I'm hoping that we're going to get some really cool stuff. But yeah, it's weird. Everything at the moment, it's all clown, or you know, and that's cool. But there is so many different morphs out there that just get looked over.
Like Noah says, that people aren't breeding. I think the last time I checked on World of Ball Pythons, which is not up to date, there's like 7,500 different combos on there.
That's mad, isn't it?
It's mental, isn't it? Have you seen the white side of stuff that Gav at Balls to You is doing? Because I think that's another line. It's very similar, in my opinion, to Calico and Sugar.
Yeah.
But it's really like high expression. So go and have a look at that, but probably leave your bank card well away from you when you go and have a look.
There is some really cool stuff out there.
And
at the moment, the market for ball pythons is bananas. So, you know,
excuse the pun.
Yes, yeah. So there are some really cool deals to have, but the top end stuff that, you know, there's still a big market out there for snakes. And
Well, it varies massively, doesn't it? It can go from like a normal male for free or like 25 quid. And then you're looking at like the brand new morph that Justin Kabelka's made, and they're like 35, 40 grand a piece.
Yeah. It looks like he literally just got a normal one banana squished together.
Yeah, yeah.
The paradox.
Oh, the paradox stuff. See, that's
Paradox is awesome. Paradox stuff and is it Chimera or Chimera?
Yeah, they're cool.
I love those, and it's a shame you can't reproduce them.
Yeah, we had our first clutch last year. We had
twins and a paradox.
12 eggs, 13 babies.
So this was your first ever clutch.
Yeah, first ever clutch. Didn't know what we were doing.
Twins in one, the paradox and one of the twins.
Twins and a paradox
in the same
clutch. So
yeah, so that's cool. So what was the pairing?
That was a spider banana.
Cool. And 12 eggs, 13 babies, and hitting a paradox and twins in your first clutch is pretty
smashed it.
Yeah, there's not very much else you can do. You might as well retire now.
We should have just got rid of everything and just found something else to do, because we'd hit the pinnacle of where we were going.
Definitely. what are you pairing up this year? What's your like most anticipated couple of clutches? What are you looking forward to?
So I've got the Calico Enchi Sugar Boy. That I'm really looking forward to seeing them. We've got Black Pastel and cinnamon, so we try and get some dark stuff.
Bananas, pinstripes.
Yeah, but pinstripe banana.
There's a Calico pinstripe and Enchi pinstripe. Sugar, we got those.
And we've got a normal. We've got to change that now. We can't call them normals. I think that's a good idea. The African, was it African?
Yeah, did you see that this morning on MJ's thing? What did he call it? Africa style.
Africa style. See, I quite like that, because a normal. Yeah. It's just we've got a female. She's absolutely amazing. She's beautiful.
Yeah, I've got a couple of hets that have nothing else in them, so they visually they look like Africa styles.
Yeah,
and like you say, they are normal. But yeah, I think Africa styles is going to catch on.
It's a bit like my banana that we were trying to.
That's not going to catch on.
It's not going to catch on. But that's another thing. So like spider, ball python spiders. They're amazing.
I think instead of spider, they should be called lightning, because they look more like lightning than spider. Yeah.
But the spider stuff, that's really, you know, everybody's got spider in their collection. Everybody doesn't say anything, but they are cool. They're cool looking. We kept one of our baby ones from last year, and he, as he gets older, he's just getting better and better. He's absolutely stunning.
He's been awesome.
He's got a bit of a twist to him, but he's fine, and you know, he's happy as Larry.
And he was staying with you, and you probably won't breed him either, will you?
He won't ever be bred. He'll just stay with us because we got rid of all of our first clutch. We gave one to Noah's teacher.
My old teacher.
And the rest we swapped for a clown pastel female. So
yeah.
So this year, hopefully, yeah, we've got, like I say, we've got eight that we've paired. Lesser Calico has gone. That should be quite good. We're not going to light the world on fire with anything that we produce this year, but we're only on season two, so it's still a learning curve for us.
It's still a massive learning curve. I don't think you ever know 100% everything anyway. I think every year you learn something new because, like, incubation methods change or substrate and incubator change or whatever.
Yeah. We've got an Orange Dream Yellow Belly sugar female, and we put her with a pastel calico, and that should be quite, I'm hoping that should be quite good fun to see what comes from them.
So have you got any eggs in the incubator yet, or are you still waiting?
We're still waiting. Every day we check. It's quite frustrating. I'm not sure whether it's worse when they're in the incubator or when they're waiting for them to drop. So
I think I struggle more with when I'm waiting for them to drop than when they're in the incubator.
Because
I think I know when they're coming, and then they just don't turn up. And then, like, I'll check it 3 weeks later, and then there's a set of eggs. And it's like, well, at least I know when they're in the incubator. They go in on day one,
yes,
getting cut on day 55, regardless of what else is going on.
Yes, yeah. That was another thing that we did. That was another learning curve. It's the cutting of the eggs, and that's so nerve-wracking.
We got too excited.
Yes.
We couldn't hold it, so we cut them 3 days early.
It was a bit earlier than we probably should have done, but it didn't,
Yeah, as long as they're all right. I like to cut them on day 55. If something pips on day 49, I'll cut the whole clutch. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Justin Kabelka said once that I think he was doing it on a live, and he cut the wrong clutch of eggs, and this clutch had only been, like, in the incubator for 10 days, and he cut one, went, hang on a minute, that's not right, looked at his card, went, oh, it's the wrong clutch, covered it back over, and they all went full term, but they were absolutely fine. So,
yeah.
I'm advising people to cut their eggs really early.
No. But we've also got Sambos, so the top three up there, on that rack there, they're Sambo. No, because they're all in shed as well. Oh, everything starts this shed this week. So we've got,
a lot in shed this week as well.
What I've tried to do is to make sure that Noah's got a contrast between. So we've got egg layers with the ball pythons, and now we've got Sambos, because they're live young. They're really slow to get to maturity, so they're up there. But they're a really cool. Any kids that are watching or parents that want to get their kids a snake, maybe not a ball python or whatever,
a Sambo
is brilliant because they haven't got a big enough mouth to make a real load of mess. If they do bite,
they wouldn't even leave a mark.
No, they don't. They're not really aggressive, but
they're cool looking as well, aren't they?
Yes,
they look like a sausage with eyes.
Yeah, but they're always going to be on small, either small mice or fluffs or fuzz. So, and they're a really good species for kids because you can handle them. They don't like a lot of handling, like we were talking about the lizards and stuff. You can tell a bit like the ball pythons when they've had enough.
Yeah,
the Sambos are a really good species for kids. They're a great one for when Noah has friends around. And the kids are scared of snakes because, obviously, it's quite daunting walking into here and to Noah's bedroom.
Most kids don't have any experience with a reptile, let alone walking into a house that's got 70 in it.
Yes. So anybody that wants to get into snakes, Sambo, I definitely recommend Sambos.
Yeah.
They're not always going to be the same. We've been lucky, but we've got four. So, yeah, we've got three out there and a small one. They stay small as well, so you don't need huge, great big bits.
Yeah, what sort of size do they get to? Like, females are going to be bigger than males.
Looking at 2 foot max for a female.
Yeah, so they're tiny, aren't they, really?
Yeah, that would be a big female, and probably only, they're not getting much fatter than a 10p, I should think. So they're not huge.
Like a Cumberland sausage.
Yes. So and the males don't get that big. And once again, but they're really cool. So they're really
googly eyes.
Yeah.
They literally just got googly eyes on.
Yeah. And they're fast feeders as well. Once you, they're a bit of a pain to get feeding.
Yeah.
But once they, and I've got some videos of the girl that I post on Instagram, and this, you, they're faster than the bull pythons for feeding. Their reaction to the point where you can't actually see them.
You blink and you miss it.
Yeah, really cool. But yeah, definitely, I recommend them. They're an amazing species to keep. They're super easy to keep, and for handleability for the kids, they're perfect.
They're relatively inexpensive as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I was looking. Funny enough, I was looking this morning, and I mean, you can get, you know,
you can get female.
Yeah, they're anywhere from 50 quid upwards. So you can
buy. So that's like the price of a fish tank.
Yeah.
So don't get fish, get snakes. They're cooler.
They're fun.
Unless it's a piranha.
Unless it's piranha. So but they live a lot longer than fish, so it's a long term. It's all of this stuff.
It is
long term.
They're definitely like you're looking at least 20 years for most species. Not necessarily lizards, like the chameleons, like you said earlier. I think their like lifespan's 5 to 7 years.
That's
most reptiles. You're looking 15, 20 years plus.
Yeah. With the snakes, I mean, you know, somebody had a saying they're not 19 years old, I think.
I've got a leopard gecko that I'm not 100% sure, but he's between 18 and 20.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, he's old. He looks old now as well.
Yeah.
But then, like, you look at tortoises and they'll live like 150, 200 years.
Yeah, well, we've got three tortoises, Herman tortoises. They'll all outlive me. He'll end up with them. He knows that you know.
So we've got two that are Vicky's, and we've already discussed that once she dies, they'll be mine. Hopefully, not hopefully, but she's gonna probably die before me. and then once I go, the kids have got them, and then they'll probably they might even outlive the kids.
Yeah. So all of them, it isn't like, I know I keep saying it, it's not like having they're not normal pets.
No.
They're so far removed from like a dog or a cat. And the longevity as well. There's not, you know, most dogs, they don't live that long. So the reptiles, they do live a lot longer than all the other stuff. So it is a long-term commitment. It's an expensive commitment as well for the setup. But once you're there,
in comparison to a dog, would you say it is expensive if you were to just have one?
No.
The problem is you can't just have one. I don't know anyone that has one reptile.
I couldn't. I said earlier, I'm not really a big snake fan. If I saw a snake outside of the garden, I'd do a runner. But so we've now got all the ball pythons, and we've also now moved into the California king snakes.
Yeah.
And you know, they're
male and female, so they'll be pairing.
So yes. So hopefully at some
year
point,
after next, they'll be pairing.
But they are completely different to the ball pythons. So they have completely different. And that's why we've done it. So we've got a comparison again for Noah. So he gets the husbandry right for when he's older. He wants to go off and, you know, he knows he kind of he's got a focus of where he wants to take his life.
I was going to move on to that in a bit. What are your like future plans? Say, obviously, this year you've got stuff breeding, next year you've got stuff growing up. What about 5 years, 10 years time? Where do you want to be sort of as you become like into an adult, Noah? What do you sort of want to do? Do you want to be working with reptiles all the time?
I don't know if I want to do it. I don't know whether I want to do it all the time, though. Like,
if you want to make it a career or keep it as a hobby.
He'd like to go and be an explorer and find stuff, wouldn't you? That's what he'd like to do.
That would be cool, yeah. And to be fair, I'm 30 now, and I still don't know what I want to do now, so I wouldn't worry too much.
I'm just going to make sure I'm carrying his bags for him. So wherever
definitely. That's what you carry his, and I'll carry your bags.
Yeah, right. He knows that he likes the reptiles. It's just it has opened up other paths for us, and it's meeting people. Like, you know, we've met so many cool people doing this.
We've met you, and it's given
Noah a different. I'm not quite sure how he would have been. It's definitely changed him he's made him more responsible because you have to.
Yeah.
And that's a really good thing for as a parent. That's a really good thing to see.
Would you say it's given you a bit more confidence as well, Noah? Because like sometimes it's difficult if you don't have anything in common or you don't have a massive interest that isn't football, it's quite difficult to like chat to people. But if you go, Oh, I've got 70. I've got 70 reptiles at home. Yeah. It's quite easy to have a conversation, isn't it?
He's a cool. Yeah. He's the cool kid in school now. You see, so
yeah. Yeah. So I don't particularly like football. I like rugby. I play a lot of rugby.
Yeah.
So some of my friends play rugby, and but if I'm struggling to fit in, like because I've recently moved schools or start of the year.
Yeah.
And I struggle to fit in, kind of, because they all played football.
Yeah, it's difficult.
But my reptiles, and I just.
Cool. I think they're definitely a good conversation starter, if nothing else.
Yes.
And they are cool. I love my reptiles. I've had reptiles since I was 12, and I wouldn't be without them, I don't think.
I know Noah was saying he's not sure. I think he will. His interest will, as he gets older, and you know, as kids get older and things move in.
Yeah.
Interest won't. It will still be there, but I
it won't be a priority as much.
No. And I don't blame him. It's not, you know, I wouldn't expect him to do that. I'll always have ball pythons. I just think they're cool. I just want to breed them. I've got lots of things in the back, you know, that I wanted. I still don't fully understand all the genetics.
Yeah.
As you know, we're always having conversations at work about it. So
yeah, exactly.
And we talk about it, but I'll always have the ball pythons. Unless we get rid of everything else, we'll always have ball pythons.
Yeah.
And a crocodile.
Maybe. Yeah, I really want a crocodile. I'm trying to get a guest on at the moment to talk about having a dangerous wild animal license, but I'm struggling to find one. Well, so if anybody knows someone that's got a dangerous wild animal license and wants to be on the podcast, please send me a DM on Instagram.
I'm just in the process of getting one. So,
you are?
Yeah. So because we were. Looking at
it's a slow process though, isn't it?
Yeah. So I was looking at Gila Monster because we've got the big viv. I was looking at Gila Monster for that.
That's an ugly location.
But obviously, it's not appropriate for Noah. So that was that's another thing for as a pet. I've got to be fairly sensible. I know there's lots of stuff that I want that I can't have because I'm responsible for Noah.
I want an armadillo.
You're supposed to be responsible.
Supposed to be. I am. So I go. It's like the shows. It's like kids in the candy shop. I get more excited than he does. So
yeah.
It's definitely something that we're in the process of going through at the moment.
Yeah, it definitely seems difficult. I've been doing some research, like I said, I'm trying to find some guests, and it seems like the biggest hurdle people are having at the moment is finding the insurance, because you have to have the insurance.
Public liability.
Yeah. But I'm not 100% sure the ins and outs of it, but it seems like most of the insurance companies at the moment have stopped doing policies to cover the DWA. So yeah. You're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place because you can't get insurance without the license, but you can't get the license without insurance.
Yes. Yeah.
So, that's why I want to get a guest on in the future to discuss it. For people like myself that's interested and for people that want to know how to go ahead and do it. I'll definitely we'll keep up to date. And if you do manage to get yours, we'll go around.
I'll let you know. But obviously, you'll know because I'll have a crocodile slung over my shoulder.
I'll know because I'll be at your house going, oh my God, it's so cool.
He wouldn't have any fingers before.
I won't have any fingers. I just want mine just because I'm going to be that bloke that you see walking down the road with an alligator or something.
Yeah, yeah. That get a Komodo who'd be walking down there on it, with a little harness on it with some wings.
I
really want an armadillo. Get those. I don't
think you can have them up here. Yeah, there's all sorts of different species that we'd like to get.
But yeah, exotic mammals is cool. If you haven't listened, go back and listen to last episode, which was MJ. He's got meerkats and all sorts of stuff. And I was like, that's really cool. And exotic mammals isn't something I've really thought of that much. I knew a guy when I was younger that had a skunk, and that was really cool. And everyone goes, oh, they stink. But it hadn't had its scent glands removed or anything like that, because that's cruel and you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But it was as tame as a dog. Like, you could pick it up and cuddle it. He used to take it to like school shows and stuff. It was really cool. And another thing that I'd like to discuss more, maybe look into, I don't think I'll ever get one, is birds. So this is episode 5. Episode 7, I've got a couple on that are macaw keepers, and they like do free flying and all sorts. And again, like, it's so cool. So yeah, armadillo would be something I would be interested to see if you go and get one. Or
I've always wanted a parrot. I've definitely always wanted to get an African grey or a macaw.
Yeah, I love African greys.
But once again, they live for 80 years. And if you get one that's noisy, you've got 80 years of it just...
I've got neighbours that have got two, and they are really noisy.
Yeah.
I think you'd get used to it.
Yeah.
I think say that again.
Noah's nan looked after one. It used to swear at her. So.
Yeah, which is funny, and it's cool. It would be funny to have a parrot and I teach it a swear word. But then there'd be some times where it's really inappropriate for this bird to be sat in the corner swearing.
Yeah, see, I can't remember where we were, but they had marmosets. So we could have, like,
that
in the back. That's it, yeah. So stuff like, the exotic animals, the mammal side of it would be quite cool.
I'm a monkey.
But there's so many. If when you start looking, there's so many that need rescuing and home.
Like monkeys.
I don't think it's something realistically you could do at home, like unless you had like a farm or a small holding or something like that. Even if you had like a relatively like a detached house with a relatively big garden, I don't think realistically you could do it.
No, and it's time scale as well. Having what we do takes an awful lot of time, and and I don't know how MJ, looking after all of it, that is a full time job.
Yeah, exactly. And like, he's a teacher as well, so he's got enough on his plate as it is.
Yeah, fair play. It was lovely to listen to him. I'd like to see all of his collection, to be fair.
Well, if you, I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, so not to jump on like. Onto your podcast, but he has just announced what the ARC officially is. So it's the Amphibian and Reptile Convention. I think he said it's going to be on the 15th of July in Sittingbourne in Kent. So it'll be nice to have a show that's a bit local, closer down here. I know the IHS shows moved from Doncaster to Milton Keynes this year, so it's pretty close anyway.
Yes.
But yeah, he's doing the show, and then he's doing like a VIP ticket experience thing where you go to the show, and then after the show he's got like a barbecue, which is a bit of a social as well.
Cool. Yeah.
So I think that'll definitely be something that I'll hopefully be going to. My wife will maybe join me, who knows.
Yeah,
I'm sure you guys will be going as well.
He was a really nice, and you know, you doing this on your podcast, it's great because I would never have known him. And we're still, although we've got a lot of animals, we're still new to the hobby.
Considering that we've only been doing it for 2 years.
Oh, my Wi-Fi has dropped out. We're still there? Yeah, no, we're still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you've met some cracking people as well. Like Noah, you had a nice experience with Scott Wilkinson, I believe, as well, did you not?
Yes.
Yes. Neighbours 13. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. And what did Scott give you?
Oh, he gave us a Mojave, a hyper.
Yeah, and that was just off a passing comment on Instagram, and Scott was like, yep, Noah, come and get it.
Scott said, what mate is better, meaning genetics. And my dad put, Noah said, living at our house. So he said, okay, then, do you want to come pick it up?
And that's cool. And it was just brilliant. And we definitely want to be able to do that back and give back to what we've gained a lot out of it. And we've met some really cool people, and we do some really cool stuff with it. And that's and we definitely want to give back to it as well. So,
yeah. And an experience like that as well, especially for Noah, it sort of stokes the fire more, doesn't it, for the passion for it. And if you're meeting people that, like some hobbies, like football, for example, if you don't support the same team as someone else, excuse my language, but you're a knobhead.
Yeah.
Like there's no niceties in football, really.
Yeah.
Whereas reptiles, you go, oh, I've got a couple of snakes at home. And if someone else is into reptiles, you're there for hours.
Yes.
This is why the podcast goes on for so long sometimes. Because I'm just opening up worms and we can sit here and chat about snakes and lizards and frogs and monkeys and whatever, and it goes on forever. So someone going, oh, here, like, Scott Wilkinson is a big name in the hobby, especially in the UK.
Yeah.
And for him to do something as nice as go, oh, here you go, Noah, have a snake, like, come and grab it.
And actually,
that's incredible. If someone gave me a snake, I'd be over the moon.
Yeah. It's probably one of the prettiest in our collection as well, as it goes. So
yeah.
Get him out. That was a really cool thing. His teacher, she was into snakes, and that. So out of our first clutch, we wanted to make sure that we gave her one of our snakes. So it's just nice to be able to just show
like sharing the passion, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, it is just, it's a really cool hobby to be in. And I love it because I have to put up with him all the time and we have fun and he's great and he's definitely, it's good for him.
Yeah, it definitely it makes you not sort of grow up to the point where you're old before your years, but you mature a lot quicker.
Yeah, yeah, you've got a
it gives you massive responsibility.
Yeah.
But I think in a good way, not like an overwhelming way.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm always here anyway. So it's, you know, we can mess it up completely together, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just have to end up hoovering substrate off the carpet for hours.
Exactly, yeah.
The reptiles, like, kind of helped me sort of, you know, mentally almost, because I was struggling at school a few years ago. Right, yeah. And they sort of...
I think we all do know, and I think at your age to be able to recognise that is really good. Like, quite often we have people on the podcast or I chat to people, and most people nowadays go, tell you what, this is shit, like, I'm struggling. And if you find reptile keepers all say the same thing, they all go, I love the reptiles because I can go and spend my time and I'm focusing on them and I don't have to worry about what's going on in the world for an hour or 2 hours or whatever.
Yes.
So to have something that can take your mind off and just make you feel a bit positive, or you can go, and, oh, I'm having a rubbish day at school or rubbish day at work, and you can go, oh, it's all right, because I've got to go home tonight and I can check to see if there's eggs in it, like tubs, or, oh, there's loads of poo that I've got to clear up, or it's feeding day, or, like, all of it's fun, isn't it? Like, even the picking up poo. I love going through and cleaning up snakes.
Well, my dad does that.
That was my next question, actually. My next question was going to be, out of the pair of you, obviously Noah wears the trousers, but who decides... We'll stick with Royals, but who decides on the pairings? Is that something you're doing together? Or is it like saying, oh, Dad, I want to do this. Is it something we can do? Or how does it work?
I know a lot about, you know, Morse, but I don't really know, you know, if you've read two together.
The genetic side.
Yeah, so, I don't really know the genetic side. So that's the genetic side. I sort of look...
He's visual. Yeah. So if a snake looks cool, that, and I'm the same, so you see a cool-looking snake, you go, oh, I like that. And then, so what we do is slow down a little bit now, but we, so he'll say, I really like that, Dad, like the ivory that we've got, or we've got some genetic striped girls up there that we're bringing on. And then once we get them in the collection, we then look for a pairing specific for that snake.
Okay, so like if you were to say, like the genetic stripe, you're like, oh, Dad, I really like the genetic stripes. Okay.
Yes.
There's one, we'll go and get it. And I presume you've got those as babies.
Yes.
And then that gives you time for them to grow up. And you can go, right, we've got the genetic stripe. Yeah. Now, what looks cool that we can put into it to make it even cooler?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to do banana G-stripe.
Yes. So,
banana G-stripe's cool.
Because, so, he does know a lot of the morphs. The genetics is, it's a really, it's complicated to a point where it can take you completely in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So what we do is, we buy one, it goes into, it comes home with us, and then we'll start looking for a pairing for the future of what, you know, or to pair them together with.
Yeah, and is that always the case, or some of the decisions?
Generally, we've got if we go to the shows like the IHS or the Bulls U one we did last year, it's generally the IHS stuff. He goes round and then he'll see something. And then we'll walk around again, and if it's still there, we'll buy it on the way back. So,
walking around, I basically run.
Yeah, he runs.
And do you find what was the most recent show you went to? The Bulls to You one.
Yes. Yeah.
So, did you go to the show with a plan in mind, like, oh, we've got these at home, we or did you go, let's see what we can find?
The first one we did, we filled out two pages of this with species that we wanted.
Yeah.
It's just visual. I've got an idea of what I want. If it's calico then or sugar, then it definitely it's top of the list.
Yeah.
But I quite like. I mean, we've got a seeing stuff. We've got a splatter male there. I've never heard of it, and it's just something a bit cool that we just got it. And you know, if it looks cool, then we'll have it. It's definitely we've got any sort of we're focusing on one thing.
Yeah, look, I did all
of
that.
Yeah,
look, I did a whole page of.
Oh yeah, that's quite a big list. So again, for the audio listeners, that is A4 piece of paper.
Yes.
Every line is filled with that. yes. something they need.
So that's what I have to. That's what I'm having to contend with. So we know. So yeah. So but it is. If we're going down, just picking specific more, it's going to start getting really boring for him to start with. Yeah. And I'm saying no because.
It did get boring at one point because you went sort of, you didn't, you came off of it.
Yes,
at one point,
yeah.
And I found it quite boring.
So we've gone back to now we're deciding and it's all good fun now.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's exactly it. So do you think that, let's say, 3 years in the future, so all you haven't bought, let's imagine you haven't bought anything else and you've just got the stuff you've got now, it's all grown up. Do you think that you'll focus more on specific projects with the stuff, or are you just going to go, oh, that's cool, we like that pairing, or are you hoping to go a bit like more involved, so like working like albino pieds or
I want to go more the I don't want to go the because like there's a lot of clown everywhere.
Yeah,
clowns are pretty much everything you see on Morph Market, but if you look at albino,
we've got some
much pied in things.
We've got some really cool, we haven't got multi-gene stuff, so we've got one or two gene. We have got one that's seven genes, I think, in it, something like that. But yeah,
good lucky idea in those when the babies come.
Five genes. Yeah. So if we stayed as we were, it would all be calico basically. I'd end up with calico stuff because it's
calico
when you hatch it and pied, because when they're hatching, you don't really know what they're going to look like. A cinnamon or a Mojave or a banana, always pretty much know that. But when you've got calico and you've got pied stuff, they're just cool. They're cool looking, aren't they?
I couldn't agree more. I love the pied stuff. Like, as you well know, I've got loads of pieds growing up this year, and hopefully I'll have some pieds by the end of the year.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's more the fun part of it. So I think probably if we didn't buy anything else, we'd end up with just calico and pied, and that's all we'd have.
Yeah, just lots of calico pied combos.
Yes, yeah, more
than
likely.
We've got quite a lot now, but in 3 years they would be ready.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't really matter. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Cool. So I'm going to start wrapping up.
Yep.
We've got a few little bits to cover. So if you have listened, the way I like to finish the podcast is something I like to call the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Shame. Basically, it is. You have to use your imagination, but imagine you are a brand new reptile keeper and you walk in and it's like the Reptile Hall of Shame first. So you walk into this big tunnel and there's like exhibits on each side, and each of the exhibits is something that a previous guest has put in to say, so the Hall of Shame and the Hall of Fame. So the shame, you're going, don't use this, or don't listen to this advice, or I've used this product, it's rubbish, don't use it. So, and then after that, we move through, and it's the Hall of Fame, which is all the good stuff from the reptile keeping. So on Paul Burrows, so Paul's Monitors episode, Paul put in red bulbs in his Hall of Shame.
Yeah.
And he put LED full spectrum lights in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's walk through the Hall of Shame first. What are you adding in the Hall of Shame?
What have we used that we shouldn't have used? Lignocell.
That'll be controversial because a lot of people like Lignocell.
I know. Yeah,
and that's fine.
I asked loads of different breeders,
and everyone.
And actually, I started it, and it just made me feel like I didn't have a clue what I was doing.
They stopped shedding.
For us, I'm sorry that you used it.
Fair enough. And then moving into the Hall of Fame, if you're a brand new reptile keeper, use this or listen to this advice. Hall of Fame is what?
Can it does it stay there permanently?
Yeah.
Can it be him?
You're going to put Noah in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know. That's a difficult one. It is just, it's getting in, it's the community, I think. I think it's definitely, it's find somebody. A bit of advice. Yeah. Find somebody that you can talk to and get information from.
They a mentor almost.
Let's say it again.
Like a mentor.
Yeah, like a mentor. Find a mentor.
There you go. This could go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I was going to get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I haven't forgotten.
Yeah. Well done. Nice plug that.
So I can see it behind you anyway. It's on top of your rack.
Yeah. But I think it's definitely, it's finding somebody like yourself or Paul with the Ackies, with the monitors. It's trying to, and there's, I know the problem is there is lots of people out there and there's lots of advice, but it's finding someone that you feel comfortable that you know that their advice works.
Yeah.
And you know that their advice works because they've got lots of animals.
Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be one person either, does it? You can take snippets from like 10 people or whatever.
Yes.
Your Hall of Fame is let's say mentorship.
Yes, agreed. Yeah,
that's cool. Right, so that's all my questions pretty much. So now is your chance to, for want of a better word, plug yourself. So obviously, if you want to start with Viper, go for it. And then social medias and all that sort of stuff.
So we stopped the Viper bedding. So the Lignocell catastrophe for us, because we couldn't get a decent, we were using one of the cocoa chip. And then we started on the Lignocell, and then the Viper bedding came out, and it made us feel like it. For me, it made me feel like I've gone back to where I was to start with.
It's basically it is reptorship.
Really it's like that, yeah. It's a really good product. It's easy to mix up. It lasts a long time. It doesn't mold. It's a really good for shedding for the ball pythons. We also use it on all the lizards as well. So the jewel lizards are on it, and any substrate in there that we need for the lizards, they use it as well.
It needs to be a bit damp, I presume, not the arid species.
Yes. Yeah. Anything that needs it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been using Viper bedding for a while now as well, and like I said it in a couple of podcasts ago, I really like it. It's not sponsored at all, this podcast, by Viper bedding. I was using Reptichip for ages. I really like Reptichip, and then obviously COVID happened and we just couldn't get it.
I
tried a few different brands, and Viper is the one that I've stuck with at the moment, and I'm really happy with it. Like you say, it's pretty dust free, it doesn't seem to stay in the stakes, it doesn't mold.
No, I've got a blue-eyed Lucy in there, and he's on that, and on some of them we've tried lots of them, and they get that sort of that tinge to them. There's none of that with the Viper, and it lasts a long time as well. So
yeah, and the reason we are talking about Viper is because you guys are a Viper distributor. Yeah.
Yes, so we did it for I did it so we could get contacts within ball pythons. It was more not a selfish thing, but I wanted to make sure that Noah got contacts within the breeders, different breeders, generally.
I know quite a lot of them.
Yeah. So, and that gave us an opening to meet other people and to do other things.
Yep. So, what part of the UK do you cover for people that are listening?
I cover West Sussex. So, they've also got a new eucalyptus spray coming out, so which I'll have in stock soon. So, for any of the cleaning stuff for all of the animals are glass and all the tubs and stuff like that.
So if you're based in West Sussex, go and give Ben a shout. Can people get in touch?
Instagram.
YouTube soon.
We're going to start a YouTube up. We're going to do a YouTube for Noah. So he's going to do a kids-friendly one. So explaining it so he's showing all his animals. But it's going to be more aimed at his age group.
Yeah.
And Facebook, but it's generally Instagram.
Yeah, and what is the Instagram handle for people that want to?
It's Rocky Ridge Reptiles.
Cool. And Ben's link will be, or Ben and Noah's link will be in the description of the video and audio podcast if you are listening audioly.
And you'll see
us
at the shows. Merched up and running around like kids in a candy shop.
Yeah, you can't miss them. They've got a massive chameleon. Is your T-shirt printed in front and back?
Yes.
Yeah. So just look for the logo. It's a huge Yemen chameleon on the back of our T-shirts. Can't miss it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much us for today. So thank you very much for joining. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to kick you out for a second, but once the podcast is over, I will just nip back in and have a quick finish off. So, thank you very much, and I will catch up with you guys soon.
See you all soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Cool. So that is pretty much the episode rounded off. Thank you guys for listening. If you're still listening, you're probably listening because you want to know who won the Exotics Keeper magazine competition this month. So let's get the winner up. If I can push the buttons. There we go. So this week's winner is Fred's Reptiles on Instagram. And the competition I'll be running every week. All you need to do on the comments in the YouTube, or keep an eye on my Instagram story, and there'll be a story coming along towards the start of the next episode. And all you have to do is drop an animal fact. I will go through and find an animal fact that either didn't know, or I find really interesting, or a bit of both. And that will give you a chance to win. So yeah, Fred's Reptiles, you have won. Your animal fact for the podcast is that tegus can raise their internal body temperature by up to 10 degrees Celsius. And scientists are wondering if they are the only, air quotes, warm-blooded reptile. So yeah, Fred's Reptiles, if you're listening, come and drop me a message on Instagram and I will sort your prize out for you. Anybody that wants to enter in the future, drop a comment on this video and leave your favorite reptile or animal fact. Doesn't even have to be reptile, it can be just animals in general. And I will go across and pick one, or keep an eye on my Instagram story as well, because I'll put the same poll up there. Where was I? So yeah, if you want to keep up to date on the socials, that is my personal Instagram is at Ben's Balls, Ben spelled B-E-N-N, and the podcast Instagram is at RepTChat. If you want to support the podcast more, you can give us a like, drop a comment below, give me a follow on Instagram, all that stuff, share, tell your friends and family. And if you want to support the podcast even more than that, in the link below is in the description below is a link to a website called Buy Me a Coffee, where you can give us a donation towards the podcast upkeep for the price of a coffee. I think it's like £3. And any of those are much appreciated. So yeah, that's the end of the podcast for today. Thank you very much. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So until then, see you later. Bye-bye.